This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. The church has declared that every year, the Sunday before Ash Wednesday and Lent, we hear from either Matthew, Mark, or Luke the story of the transfiguration of Jesus. This year, it's from Mark. The words transfiguration and transformation are sometimes confused or thought to mean pretty much the same thing. And in fact, they are quite different. Transformation is what happens to us when we are changed inside into something other or more than what we were. Conversion stories are transformations, such as St. Paul being knocked off his camel and blinded and transformed by Jesus from a hater and persecutor of Christians into the unshakable believer in Christ who planted churches throughout the Mediterranean and whose writings provided a theological grounding for the growth of Christianity around the world. That is a major transformation. There are also less dramatic, but no less profound, transformations in Scripture and in our own lives. And we talked about those last week, the freedom that comes to us when our hearts are opened and turned, when we stop running in tight little circles, when we are transformed by the awareness of Jesus by our side and in our lives. Transfiguration, however, is something else again. Transfiguration is when the outside appearance is altered to reveal more of the truth of what already is. Transfiguration does not change, it reveals. When Jesus is transfigured on the mountain, he is still Jesus, but more of his true nature is revealed. Why? That will be our question this morning. Why does Jesus take Peter, James, and John up the mountain to show them what he shows them? And why does the church insist that we encounter this story right before Lent? Well, to answer that question, I invite you to make an effort this morning to stop what you're doing and to really engage your imagination, to enter into the experience, not the meaning, we can talk about that some other time, but the experience. God gave us reason and skill, but also imagination. And imagination is central to our faith. We were not at the transfiguration, and the transfiguration needs to be imagined. Imagination strengthens our faith and deepens it and makes it real. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain to a place set apart. We don't know the mood as they walked, but my guess is that James, John, and Peter were chatting it up as Jesus led the way. But it got quieter the farther they went. Finally, he stops. Suddenly, this man they follow, this man that Peter has declared as the Messiah, transfigures before their eyes. The veil of his humanity parts, his very skin becomes translucent, and the light of his divinity blazes, turning his face and clothes a dazzling white. beyond description. Mark includes a fabulous detail, a white quote, such as no one on earth could bleach, unquote. This is not of the earth. Well, imagine yourself there. Imagine Peter, James, and John falling to the ground and perhaps crying out, certain they were going to die from the sheer power of the light. And they were terrified. They look up and see Moses and Elijah on either side of Jesus, the law and the prophets, connecting Jesus, they thought they knew, to the whole line of Jewish history with God and bringing all of time into this moment. Of course they were terrified. And poor Peter blurts out something inane about staying there and building three dwellings and not knowing what to say. And a cloud covers them, and a voice from above says, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." Is your heart pounding yet? Well, the first part sounds like God at the baptism of Jesus. "You are my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." But here, God speaks not to Jesus, but directly to the disciples, to us. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Then the cloud recedes, and the disciples look around, and only Jesus is there. This Jesus they thought they knew, but not like this. What just happened? Then Jesus leads them down the mountain, and I imagine it was silent. The three disciples waiting desperately for Jesus to say something. What he says is, "Don't tell anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Wait, what? Can you feel this? Why did Jesus do that? Why did Jesus need to show them that? 6 days earlier, Jesus told the disciples for the first time that he was going to be rejected by the chief priests, killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Peter rebuked him, and Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." They were not getting it. They were not listening. Their faith had shrunk into a domestic version of itself, caught up in the reasons and concerns of this world. They forgot what they had been told about the kingdom of God and had allowed it to slip out of their imaginations. They were not prepared for what is to come. Jesus took them to the mountain to strengthen their faith, to fire their imaginations, to humble them in the beauty and timeless presence of God, to frighten them into listening to him, to grow their faith into something larger and stronger, to prepare them for the cross. Well, no wonder the church wants us to engage this story each year, to prepare us for the cross. We need what they needed: stronger faith, a bigger vision of God, deep humility, a call to listen, and a vivid imagination to feel the power of love. Our faith needs our imaginations in good working order. I worry sometimes about our ability to imagine. I worry because we can grow lazy and allow others to do our imagining for us. Anything that comes to us on a screen was imagined by someone else, and then choices were made for us to see and hear only what someone else's imagination wants us to see and hear. Now, this is not a bad thing. All art is choice and point of view. But what worries me is the ease with which we let our own imaginations slip. What technology can do can be thrilling, dazzling, and jaw-dropping, and I am a huge fan. But I worry that we have become so saturated with the morphing of images and fantasy worlds that those quaint little Bible stories that we mostly hear read to us on Sundays pale by comparison. Well, the answer is not to disparage the amazing creativity of the modern world, but to exercise our own imagination muscles, to imagine for ourselves, each of us within ourselves, the stories of our faith. That is where meaning lies. That is where Jesus speaks to us, shows us, connects us, and transforms us. How we imagine and tell the stories is how we strengthen our faith. Today, Jesus took us up the mountain to witness his transfiguration, to show us that he is God. It was an extraordinary trip. With the disciples, my eyes became saucers and my heart raced, and I felt the beauty and power of Jesus in all his divinity, and I trembled listening to the voice of God. As the cloud receded, my eyes softened, and I saw Jesus, just Jesus, standing there, and I was filled with love. I could hardly breathe, but I felt changed. I knew more would be asked of me, and my faith was strengthened. I had a really good time. Did you? Amen.